us chosen people living as exiles in a fallen world. And oftentimes that means persecution and suffering and hard times. And as Peter is writing this letter to believers who are scattered across parts of Asia, what he is doing is he's starting his letter with encouragement. He's starting his letter with the mercy of God and then the salvation that we have by that mercy through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He's encouraging people who are going through difficult times, they're going through hardships, or the sake of Christ, and the way to encourage them and motivate them and give them a foundation. He reminds them of the mercy of God. And so for the last few weeks, we've been looking at verse 3 through 9, and specifically where Peter lays out for us what the salvation is. And it's not as if it's not really looks the same as that verse 10 to 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1. But I want to back up and remind us of this great salvation that Peter has been describing for us. So we'll find verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are sealed by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, we greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have suffered grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to the fruit and genuineness of your faith, a greater worth and gold, which purity is even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. If you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, we're even going to go back to the testing of salvation. This is the grace that Peter is now going to refer back to you in verse 10 and 12, which is from verse 9. This is verse 10, he says, concerning this salvation that we just read about, the prophet who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, serves to give him with the grace to hear, trying to find out the time and circumstances in which the Spirit of Christ's kingdom was told to you, but who predicted the sufferings of Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when he spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit in heaven. Even Jesus longs to look in these things. And so, basically, what Peter is doing in these few verses is having verse 10 and 12 by highlighting this one meeting point. And within this description of the glorious salvation that has been provided for us by the mercy of God in Christ. Well, how do we verse 10 and 12? How do we function at the next stage? Well, that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about how we can verse 7 with the verse that we have before it, and how that has served as an explanation for it, a great conclusion. Everything that Peter has been saying about this group. And so the first point that I want to make tonight is that our great salvation, this elevation that Peter has been describing, our great salvation was promised in the Old Testament prophets, but some are here. And so that's what Peter's saying in verse 2 and 12 is basically the prophets. The Old Testament prophets, I mean, Peter, for instance, the Old Testament prophets were receiving revelations from God and from the Holy Spirit of Christ. and they were predicting the salvation that would be accomplished by Christ when he would come at some point in history. And that salvation, that grace that they were predicting, they knew of it, it would be revealed to them, but in some way, it was like, in 1 Corinthians 13, they were looking to the last verse. They saw it, they looked into the future and see that it was coming, but they could not quite exactly figure out exactly how it was going to work out. They knew that the Messiah was coming, they knew that there was a Redeemer who was coming, that would provide for the redemption of all of God's people, but they didn't know when. They knew exactly the circumstances, the timing. And I knew all the appears to hear, they both understand all the implications of what they were going to do by the Spirit of Christ. And so our great salvation is something that was promised in the Old Testament, but still in this verse, Peter says in verse 12 that the Spirit of Christ, the Bible is referring to the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that inspired all the believers, the same Holy Spirit that we read in Isaiah and the prophets about the coming of the Christ. This new Holy Spirit, in verse 11, that he was pointing, he was revealed in them and was pointing what predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that will follow. In other words, we have in the Old Testament prophets themselves, before Christ ever came, we have in Revelation that the Messiah, when he would come, he would serve that suffering. And then he would return to the world. And this is exactly what Jesus told the disciples after he rose from the dead. And each chapter before, he's talking with the disciples on the way to the next. And during the time when his identity is still concealed from it, they're walking along the road and they're all down partying because the things that have happened in the recent days. They're promised the suffering. They put their hope in when he's dead. They shut their eyes along that road. All of their hope had been there. They knew their Messiah, their promised one, was dead. Not unknown to them, but walking along with them, he's asking them, why are you so sad? What's going on? What happened years from now? And they would discuss you also. And then he begins explaining things to them and revealing things to them from the scripture. They still don't know who he is. But in Luke 24, verse 25, he says this and that. How foolish you are. But he definitely says that. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So Jesus believed the prophets have already said the prophets. If you were to read carefully, listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you, the prophets were themselves. The prophets are spoken for a voice of Israel. Is it not the Father has heard? Answer to the Lord. So the pathway for the hurt for the Messiah. Even predicting the Old Testament, the pathway was suffering, then glory. Suffering, then glory. And verse 27 of the 24 is through the beginning of Moses, coming from this through the beginning. Beginning with Moses, and all the prophets, all the through what we know of the Old Testament. He explained to them what was written in all the scriptures and sayings that first he will suffer and then glory. I think that's what Peter said here. Peter thinks the Spirit of Christ revealed the Old Testament prophets, the sufferings of the prophets, and the glories that were followed. So I think specifically the referring to Christ and his work and his redemption, he will accomplish in the cross of Calvary. And then the first one, resurrection, and the 12 days of the resurrection of Christ. But in that pattern of Christ, I mean, it is also a for us as we
earth there is followed by glory. In other words, Jesus says, if you will lose your life now, then you will save it. And in fact, this whole letter, our first Peter, one of the primary themes in that suffering for Jesus, one of the five times, for the sake of Jesus. And let's look here a little bit later on in the letter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, he says, for it's commendable if someone bears up under the pain and punishment suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is their credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and do it? In other words, if you receive a beating and get a beating for doing something, then there's no credit in that. There's no glory in that. But he says in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, but if you suffer for doing truth, if you suffer for the truth of Christ for thinking, this is commendable before God. And then he says in verse 21, because to this you were called. Paul says in similar in Philippians 1, he is considering the grace to you on behalf of Christ, not only to lead you to me, but also to suffer for you. In other words, part of our calling by the Spirit and through the gospel is not only a calling to pray, but also a calling to walk with Christ and know as far as possible, know the fellowship of Christ. And so here he says in 1 Peter 2:21, to those who were called and just prophets suffered for you, but you can use an example and you can follow this. So, Christ suffered for us, for our redemption, for his dead, buried, that we could render it exalted to our new God. What Peter is telling us in this letter is, right now, as we live as God's chosen exiles in this world, there will be times when we will have sin for the sake of Christ. But there is joy to follow, there is glory will follow, just as we are there of Christ. And so, what's the process of being in this army of Christ? We do not need it for us, but we do not need it. Our way of salvation was revealed there as promised, but it was given. If they were seen and experienced in such a way that was the cross, not fully understand all the indications or the timing or the circumstances of how this all unfolds. And verse 10 of 1 Peter 1 says that these prophets search intently and with the greatest care. They're interested in these things. Why would they need to search and see and study these things? Because they don't fully know how to follow the word out. It's rather their attention. They're interested in it. They want to know more about it. They love what's happened in their lives. Remember Aaron's meeting in the temple? And Micah and Mary brought then Jesus to the temple. And both Aaron's meeting have basically both explained this whole we've been waiting for our whole lives. And so he basically said, Lord, now we can come home. Because I've seen your salvation. Well, this is the salvation of the promised Spirit. And they long to see it. They long to see it in their own time. But they didn't. They didn't fully understand anything that the Lord forgave them, all the indications of the timing of the salvation. It was not for them to know all the details. It was for them to understand fully, completely. Because I understood of them that they were acting as servants for our benefit. In verse 12, he says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when he spoke of the things that he knew has risen by those who preached the gospel. Now, were they serving the people in their own name as they promised them? Well, absolutely. They have a mission and ministry to the people in their own day. But what Peter is saying
is immediately clear that they want to minister to us because they were revealing this salvation that we need to do when Christ came to history. And so they were being used by God as proofs for our own souls. Here it is, one commentator says, Tom Charger, his commentary, first year, he said this: the salvation that believers experience now, this morning, we live on this side of the cross, the salvation that believers experience now, which will be consummated in the future. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this very embarrassing reserve in heaven for us. So, the salvation that we're experiencing now, which will be completed in the future at the promise, because was also prophesied in heaven. What's the significance of that? Well, it gives our faith an answer. It gives our faith. This faith that we have received in the gospel is nothing new. This is something that God has been wanting to reveal since the beginning of time. And so, the Old Testament prophets long for the fulfillment of these prophecies in our own day, but they were actually experienced for us. This meaning of the fulfillment of their prophecies, and make sure they are hearing our faith in the sure word of prophecy in the past, the sure word of God's revelations. And so, our great salvation was promised, and so it is. For to you, now, our great salvation is a promise. So, all types of prophets receive revelation from God, pointing forward to the things that were coming. Now, those things that they were pointing to have happened. They have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They have now been accomplished. And so, what the most prophets predicted, Christ has fulfilled. The message of salvation in Christ now is no longer missing. Now is no longer hidden. Freely revealed and declared in the gospel of Jesus Christ, revealed through his new nature of apostles and prophets. So that's what he doesn't say in verse number 12. And he says, it was revealed to them in the past, all the prophets, that they, the old prophets, were not serving themselves, but you, the labor on the other side of the cross. All the prophets were serving New Testament believers. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, who are those that have preached the gospel to you now in the present? Well, in their day, they would have been apostles. And the New Testament prophets, the helper of the apostles and prophets. So, the Old Testament prophets were revealing things that were to come and refer to you when they predicted these things that were hidden, but now have been plainly revealed, plainly prepared by the gospel in by New Testament prophets and apostles in the gospel. And if you think of verse 12, it's because the same Holy Spirit that revealed the prophecies in the Old Testament is the same Holy Spirit that reveals the gospel to Paul and Peter and John. Paul says, I am going to see this gospel by revelation from God. And so the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Old Testament prophets is the same Holy Spirit that inspires the New Testament apostles and prophets. Basically, what we are seeing here is the Holy Spirit who is one of both basically means that both steps of Scripture are equal ground and are both authoritative for our faith. So the Old Testament prophets were authoritative and true because they were speaking by the Spirit of God. Now, the New Testament prophets who are proclaiming the gospel, they are authoritative because they're speaking by the Spirit of God. And now you've been free to review those gifts. What kind of gifts? And so basically what it means is that Christians in this age, that includes more Christians in this age after the cross and resurrection, we are living in the age of the throne, the age of the culmination of salvation history. All the Old Testament was leading up to and working toward what Christ has come. Now, we have to do this by leading on to this and being able to look back at that and see it clearly, not to a less darkly, but it's also more of a faithful. We have to fully revelation of salvation in Christ. Again, it's not trying to respond to this. The members in Christ represent the fulfillment of prophecy. They enjoy the great privilege of looking in the days when this mission is being fulfilled. That's how I make Peter intending verse 22. And why he is dealing with this whole talk on revelation. Old Testament prophets, revelation, and New Testament prophets, revealing the gospel, this whole study of revelation, the point is, we now have the benefit of being partakers of the seeing a clear vision over this cross. This great salvation that will be hidden mystery and will activate, we are now living. We're now experiencing and you see it clearly in one day. That's what that is. And the reason I think that we do it is because then he goes on and says, you have the total conscience at the end of the plural that I did in the third point. And that is corporate salvation, capturing the amazement of news. Capturing the amazement of news. He says in verse 12, at the very end, even the angels long to the news. In other words, all of this that brings the exclamation point to its full discussion about the mercy of God's salvation in Christ. This salvation is so great, what Peter is saying, that the prophets long ago long to see it. This church is written in this looking into wondering what time and what circumstance how all of this is going to unfold in the coming of the Son. The Old Testament prophets were like senior men. They longed to see the salvation of God happen in their own day. Many of them never thought. But now, Peter says, we see this. We are living. Not only did the prophets long to see it, even angels want to see it. Even angels want to look at these things and find out what they all are. Just to give us a thought about what Peter is doing here, I think, Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew 13, verse 17, he said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes if you have seen, and your ears if you have heard. For truly I say to you, many of the prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it. And hear what you hear, but did not hear it. What is Jesus doing? But I think what he's saying is, you, disciples, have the blessings of living in a new communication. These prophets of old, righteous people, come and Moses, Peter, Isaiah, Jeremiah, God in there, who also suffered much for the kingdom of God. Suffered much here, and they never, ever got to see what you're now seeing. And so that's why Jesus says, blessed are your eyes, because you're seeing what these Old Testament prophets never mentioned. That works. faithfulness in 1 Peter 1, 2, and 12. As God always brings salvation, God will give us a new birth and a living hope to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into inheritance that will never perish, grow, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you due to God's power. In faith, our healing and the coming of salvation that grace may reveal in the last time. All of this great salvation appears to have promised long.
In which the heavens from this
the angels in heaven who serve in the presence of God are interested in these things. These people will lift all that even more than them. And they long to them. Why is this so amazing to angels? I think it's because angels do not experience grief like we do. Angels do not experience grief in the way that we do. The angels in heaven were not renewed by Christ. Human beings, sinners, like you and me, were renewed by the Lord Christ. And so we are experiencing grief. We are experiencing the peoples, Christ's redemption in a way that even angels knows. And they just want to chase them. They just want to look at it for a little bit and catch a glimpse of what God is doing for us in Christ. And so basically the whole point of this, whole these few verses is this. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are living in the messianic age of sin. This brings salvation. It's done. And now it should be the masking for funds to all earth. Believers in Jesus who live on this side of the cross in resurrection are super abundant believers to partakers of such great salvation. God told them. The prophets predicted Jesus Christ, the Messiah, accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection. The Spirit of life in new birth is to forget him, and now we are partakers of the great salvation. Which brings us back to verse 3, where Peter began and he said, praise you to the God and Father of our Lord. That's why verses 10 through 12, I believe, are the explanation. This is how great this salvation is. The prophets longed for Christian spirit, and the angel from heaven want to move this. That's how great this salvation is. And that's why we begin this whole section, verse 3, of the doxology of praise you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is worthy of praise. Why? Because he gives great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the dead. That's all that there's so great promise for this year, and he wants us. And you and I are blessed to live in it. And so I think the point that Peter is making is, in the actual world, in the world, we're exiles. We're traveling through. This is not our ultimate home. We have a greater home in heaven. As we're traveling in this world of exiles, there are going to be times when we're going to face it. When there are going to be some difficult times because we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he wants them to do is he wants them first to stop and consider what they have. What do they have? They have new earth. They have salvation. They have forgiveness of sins. They have eternal life. They have the hope of his pure inheritance lined up in heaven for them. They have secured by the omnipotent power of God. And that is enough. Them and anger them in their faith and confidence praise God even in the midst of difficult times. And I pray that it will be the same for us. That as we go to this world, we're going to face that. We're going to face that. Some of the difficulties that we are doing in all the world, sickness, disease, and death, hardships, foundation, turmoil, we're going to face that. Sometimes we're going to face more direct opposite and persecution as we identify with Christ. What is redeemed for us to all those things is the hope that we have in Christ and the hope that we have in an eternal inheritance that will not be taken from us because it's secure by the Almighty power of God. Let's think of it in the and constantly in God's provision, in God's promises, and many that we as friends, even as we are the next ones in this world, let them be blessed.